Welcome to the Send Relief Podcast, where our goal is to equip every church to serve its community with gospel-centered mercy and compassion ministry.
Hi, I'm Greg Tiefertiller, Marketing Director for Send Relief, and welcome to this special series of podcasts as we recognize the month of May as Foster Care Awareness Month. Foster care is a complex issue, and we know that not everyone has the same understanding or awareness of the issues that face our nation. It's complex, it's messy, but unfortunately, we often overlook the issue. So we've partnered with some close friends, experts in foster care, to share insights and experiences and to provide practical instructions on how to share the love of Jesus with children and families who are waiting for you. Whether you're a pastor, ministry leader, or a follower of Jesus, this is for you. And now, today's conversation. Well, thanks for joining us. I'm here today with Tom Covington, the Executive Director of Uniting Hope for Children. Tom spent 15 years prior to leading UH4C, 15 years with the Georgia Department of Family and Children's Services in social work, and also 7 years in bivocational ministry. So, Tom, thanks for being with us today.
Great. Greg, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So we're going to talk about some of the practical questions, some of the more fundamental questions that are often asked by families who are stepping into the world of foster care. You know, the word that often comes up when we talk about it is messiness.
Yes.
And it's a real mature word, right?
Absolutely.
It's a really complex adjective there. My rhetoric teacher from high school would be very disappointed that I'm using that to describe anything. And we're going to use that word a lot, though.
Sure.
We're going to talk about the messiness of foster care because it's real, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's very much messiness, not the most grown-up word, but definitely the best one to describe it.
You don't have to be in the trenches of foster care to know that,
no.
For sure. I mean, all the factors that feed into it, strains within families, the impact of abuse. Of course, we often now are aware of the opioid epidemic and some of the impacts on families there, abandonment, trauma, you know, some of the things that we need to be talking about more and being more aware of. But today we're going to talk about some of the more fundamental questions that families might ask if they're responding to God's call on their lives and their families to be part of this. So what are some of the fundamental, most common, most basic questions that you ever hear?
Absolutely, Greg. The two most common questions I get when I'm speaking in a church or preaching or just talking with someone about foster care is how many and how long. And by that, I mean, very often folks want to know how many kids are in foster care. And for Georgia specifically, right now today, right over 14,000, very much similar throughout North America in state. So thousands of kids in foster care. And then people want to know, how long do they stay in foster care?
Mm.
Is it a few days, a few weeks? And there are those outliers either way, but generally between 18 months and 3 years. And that's a long time for a child to be away from their family and trying to reach some form of permanency. So 18 months to 3 years, that's what folks always want to know.
It's a long time to be separated from your birth family, from those who are closest to you. You talked about how many. In Georgia, that number has continued to increase. In fact, it's almost double, or it is double from just 5 or 6 years ago.
Yes.
And so that trend and the national trend continues to increase, which is alarming. You'd think that we're in a better position as a country to see that number actually to move in the right direction. But I would believe that we as a church have a significant role if we ever want to see that number decrease. But I know that another question you hear all the time is the question, why? Why are we even having this conversation?
Sure. The why, Greg, one of the big reasons for the why of where we're at is simply and sadly, we live in a broken world. That many kids are in foster care, that number goes up. They stay in foster care that long because we do live in a broken world. You talked about the opioid crisis. That's one of the big ones, especially here in Georgia, but throughout the country. Those things just play into it. There's the classic things we've seen for decades of poverty, substance abuse, domestic violence, all of those things. And it's a big picture problem. It's not just a list of a few things we can check off and get a child home. It's a broken world, and that's one of the reasons the church needs to be involved. We understand grace. We've seen redemption. We've seen how Christ can change a life, and that's what's needed to solve the foster care crisis, is seeing a life changed.
Absolutely. Can you give us a snapshot of what most families wonder what the experience is going to look like when you bring a child into your home? I'm sure it's complex, but is there a picture that you can give someone and maybe even a little bit of a process that they can expect if they're going through that?
Sure. Greg, when a child comes into foster care, there's a range of emotions. That child, no matter how difficult or how challenging or how bad the home they come from is, that's the home they know. I experienced that so often when I worked at the Department of Family and Children's Services, was kids would be in a home where they were abused, they were mistreated, but it's what they knew. They're taken from that home. They're taken to a stranger's home. So you have a family that's gone through the training. They've committed the time to become a foster parent. This child comes into their home, and all that child knows is, this is a different place. This is somebody I don't know. I don't know how they're going to treat me. So that's probably one of the most eye-opening first steps for foster families and foster parents, is just that unknown of how's that child going to react to them. And once they do come in, one of the most difficult things in giving you that snapshot of what doing foster care is like is there are so many unknowns. A child comes into foster care, we don't really know what they've gone through. We might know the immediate circumstances that led to them being placed in foster care, but we don't know what is their family background, how have they done in school, how have they done going to the doctor. The things we might know about our own children, where we have that life history on them, we don't have that. So there's a whole lot of unknowns that people have to be prepared for. And beyond that is the fact that the system is so massive. You have the Department of Family and Children's Services, so you have case managers, you have the legal process, you have courts, judges, child advocates, guardian ad litems, all of these pieces. So when a family steps into foster care, out of that calling of God on their hearts to open their home to a child, they're thrown into this massive system with so many moving pieces. So that's one thing we always try and prepare foster parents of as they're going through our initial training, is that you're stepping into this much wider world, and this world with so many parts. And what can be difficult and is probably the most jarring revelation is so much of that is out of our control. We step into foster care wanting to see a child's life changed and see a family restored and redeemed, and there's so many moving parts. And so often, everybody has the best interest of the child at heart and at hand, but people have a whole lot of different ways to get there. So the conflict that goes on can be very difficult for foster families as they come into that, because they're coming in with a heart led by the Lord to just say, we want to love a child, we want to bring a child or a sibling group into our home. And when they do, they're thrown into this massive system that they're now a part of.
Yeah, and you can't walk into it trying for a quick fix, right? No. I mean, it's such a process. And our culture sometimes is designed to try to expedite that process. You know, I think often of what I've been learning more about is how trauma impacts the life of a child and ultimately the family. And you mentioned that just because a child walks into a supporting family doesn't mean that things change for them overnight. It might be a safer place. It might be a place of comfort, but that doesn't mean that they learn to anticipate different outcomes. Isn't that right?
Absolutely, Greg. Trauma literally touches and informs everything we do in the foster care system. And one thing I can really praise the state of Georgia on that they do is the focus on trauma services and trauma, what they call trauma-informed casework. Mm-hmm. And that's something we really try and prepare our foster parents for. A child who's been through the significant trauma that led to them being placed in foster care, even if simply the trauma of being removed from their home, that child's going to react differently. That child's going to come into a situation where they're questioning things. You might be there as a foster parent, and you're making their bed for them, or you're providing them a meal, or you're providing them fresh clothes. They're not coming into that like your child might, of saying, oh, wow, mom and dad are taking care of me. They're saying, why is this person doing this? How have adults treated me in the past? So that trauma is going to lead to reactions you may not be prepared for. With my own children, we have a routine in our home. We know why things happen. But a child who's been through significant trauma, they're going to question everything. They are going to be very difficult at times to attach emotionally. And that's one of the big things we have to be prepared for in stepping into this ministry. And we talk about that word messiness of, you're there as a foster parent, especially a Christian foster parent. You've answered God's call to this ministry. You've opened your home. You've gone through a whole lot of training and preparation. You've had your life dug into and your home checked out. But that child doesn't know that. That child who's been traumatized maybe by every significant adult in their life is going to come into contact with you, and they're going to have a lot of questions. So we've got to have a whole lot of grace and a whole lot of patience to walk with kids through trauma.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm reminded of a story that I heard of a child who came in, again, into foster care, into a wonderful home, had a bedroom, had a wonderful bed, had a place to lay and to sleep well. But yet the mother walked into the room in the middle of the night and the child was still laying there with their eyes wide open. And in the conversation, they learned that that child had been abused and only knew that something was coming. That's what they learned what to anticipate.
Sure.
And so they didn't know that they were really in a place of comfort, even though to us it might have been defined as comfortable. They didn't know what to expect. Didn't know how to anticipate that. We hear of stories of children who hoard food.
Absolutely.
It's a very common conversation, I think, because they don't know where their next meal is coming from or how long it's going to be between meals. And so there are other behaviors that trauma creates, aren't there?
Absolutely, Greg. Those are great examples. Trauma is going to lead a child to probably be overprotective of their personal safety. And that can be jarring for us as a foster parent. If we come in and say, oh, we just want this child to attach to us and love us and give us a hug, it might be months till a foster child gives something as simple as a hug or trust you within their personal space, things like that. I remember cases where we would have kids in foster care. They'd come into a home very much like you said. There'd be a bedroom for everybody. And later that night, that foster parent would find a sibling group of four or five kids, you know, huddled in one bed together because that's what safety was for them. And it would take them a long time to get used to the idea that they were in a home where they were safe, where they could be okay. So that's one thing folks really need to be prepared for in going into foster care is just gaining that trust and that feeling of safety for a foster child can take some time. And that's where we have to have patience. We have to have grace towards those kids of saying, we have no idea the depth of what they've experienced. So we're going to walk with them through that. And we're going to be okay if it takes 6 months to get a hug or, you know, it takes 3 months before they don't sneak a bag of chips to their room every night, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's the ministry and the messiness, right?
Absolutely.
It's understanding, hey, we don't always know their story. We don't always know the complexities of what they've dealt with. But in their behavior, we see some of the implications of what they've dealt with. And it's only in their behaviors that we have the ability to see a little bit of the picture of where they've been and what they've come from. And so you mentioned the grace and the patience, and that is the ministry. That is the place where it's more than just opening your door and providing them a safe place, but it's the relationship that you get to build with them in that process, patience and grace being essential parts of that. It's hard. And so what do we do to encourage families in the midst of that messiness, knowing that it is hard, knowing it is a place where it might, not only do we have to extend grace and patience, but it might test some of our patients.
Absolutely.
So normalize messiness?
Absolutely. And Greg, that's a great way to think of it, is normalizing messiness. We use the word messy. We talk about struggles and trauma and all those things because we want to be as open and fair with our foster parents, with anybody that's prayerfully considering this kind of ministry, because it is difficult. It's not just, hey, I love kids and I want to open my home up. There's a lot that they're going to encounter. But one of the real realities of this is all ministry is messy. If you're going to go overseas and do ministry work, you're going to get every kind of shot you can imagine. You're going to get a passport. You're going to do those things. And you're going to step off a plane in a place that's very different. Messy ministry. I grew up in a church where we did building trips every summer. And we came home sweaty and smelly and dirty at the end of the day. All ministry has some form of messiness. But we have to embrace that messiness, that difficulty, that brokenness, if we're going to see redemption, if we're going to see wholeness. We all love the TV shows of home improvement, right? The home repair. We love where they take this broken, messed up house, and then at the end of it, it's this beautiful creation. We love that, but then we have this tendency to look at ministry and say, oh my gosh, that's messy, that's scary. I'm going to shy away from that. But that's what the Lord's calling us to. He's calling us to go into those messy, difficult places in any form of ministry, but especially in foster care, so that we can see redemption, we can see restoration, we can see wholeness on the other side of that journey.
Yeah, Jesus did it.
Absolutely.
I mean, he exemplified what messy ministry looked like, went into places that that other people would say, you don't go there.
Sure.
There are places that we avoided. And again, I think our culture is designed to avoid. It's designed to navigate around those. There's an issue always with building trust. You mentioned that between the biological and the foster family, isn't there?
Sure, absolutely. Greg, often what we find is the biological family, the birth family of a child that's placed in foster care, they're questioning of everybody involved in the system. What they see is a system that's been developed to take their child away from them. That's their perspective on it. One of the things that we see, and it's probably one of my most favorite things about the ministry I get to lead is that we see that change over time. And one of the stories I was thinking of is that we had a family where their child was taken into foster care, placed with one of our foster families. And at the outset of that, that biological family was very angry, very resentful of the foster family, very questioning, accusatory to him, just really looked at them as the enemy. And thankfully, through Christ, that foster family, I would say, warmed down with love. They accepted the biological family's view and perspective, and they just loved them. They shared with them. They connected with them of, we're just here to care for your child, and here's why. Because of how Christ has loved us and cared for us, we're here to care for you. And over time, we saw that relationship change, and we saw that birth family go from being in conflict with the foster family to a time and a moment where they were partnered together. It's what we call partnership parenting. That's the term for it. And so we went to a time that foster family was able to say, it's because of what Christ did in our lives that we're caring for your child and for you, not just your child separate from you. We're caring for you and we're loving you. One of the things I always love is when our staffs will send me pictures or stories where a child is baptized, a child's received Christ and they're baptized, and they're at the front of the church, the foster family and the birth family together. And what an amazing picture.
That's incredible.
We had one of our foster moms a few months ago. We had that very situation. The child was getting baptized, and the foster mom bought a Bible for the birth mom. She had never had a Bible before and wrote a lengthy letter to her in that to explain why, through God's goodness and God's grace, she was doing what she was for her child.
Yeah, it's incredible that we can take that grace and patience that's applicable to the child,
sure,
very applicable, and has to be sustained, but also extend it into the biological family, knowing that the end in mind, ideally, is reconciliation.
Sure.
It is family reconciliation. But what a great ministry opportunity for us to think about it, that we can go well beyond the relationship just with the child, and that
right.
the doors are opened to the biological family in some cases, right? Not in
sure,
every case,
not every case.
But knowing that when it exists, that we can build that trust, we can build that relationship, extend that grace and patience to them, walk them through the journey of reconciliation. I think that is one of the challenges, is that we often look at foster care and think that that this is going to be a long time, and it can be,
sure,
right? 18 to 24
sure.
months, very common, but that the idea of being reconciliation, that our ministry can be of reconciliation, that our
right.
ministry can be that we really do want to reconnect the family as it was designed. Was
right.
it designed to be broken apart?
No.
Was it?
No, not a bit.
And so if we can serve together, if we can work together, seeing that we can come alongside that family and intend to reconcile them, like you said, there's a perceived conflict or a perceived
sure.
trust with those families, but they ultimately know that our heart is their heart, and that's to see them come back together.
Absolutely. And Greg, one of the things that we see so often is, and one of the reasons I'm so passionate about the local church doing that and seeing that reconciliation, is it's not just being a foster parent. A lot of times people in a local church will say, well, God's not calling me to be a foster parent, so there's no role I can play. And that's not true. There's a role for everybody in the local church, and there's mm-hmm. a role for every local church to play. Yes, we need foster parents. We need Christian, godly homes that are meeting physical needs and spiritual needs. But we need churches that come alongside those foster parents.
Absolutely.
We need churches, whether it's a small group, a Bible study class, a senior adult ministry that says, you know, we're not taking foster kids into our home, but we're going to, let's use another word out of what we do, we're going to adopt this foster family. We're going to surround them with a care team or a support team. We're going to get certified, get checked out to give babysitting to a foster family, things mm-hmm. like that. There's a role everybody in the local church can play, whether it's for the senior adult ministry in a church to say, you know what, we're not taking any more kids in, but we will be the diaper ministry. We'll be the gift mm-hmm. card ministry. We'll be the prayer partners. We
That's
will
right.
commit to pray for these kids. So there's a role everyone can play. And without that, we're not going to see this crisis solved.
That's right. A good friend of mine is a pastor and has a very strong culture within his church. And it's a young church, three
yes.
years old. But they have a very strong culture around foster care. And again, I think as pastors, sometimes we feel the weight or the burden that we have to be the ones to lead that conversation, to emphasize that in our church. And you do have to give it a platform. But the reality is there are people within the church with the passion for it.
Yes.
And really, you have to empower them and equip them to jump into it. They're willing to jump into the messiness.
Absolutely.
Right? But surrounding them. And in that church culture, My pastor friend has a 5-to-1 ratio. For every foster family, there are 5 families that come around them, and they do practical things. They bring meals. They run errands. They go to the grocery store. They pick something up for the other family. You know, they're doing the generous things that are, and not even always sacrificial.
Sure.
I think we think,
sure.
You know, we think of things that are sacrificial. It's not sacrificial to pick up a couple of extra items from the grocery store when you're already there. It's not even inconvenient.
Sure.
So it's to think about others who are jumping into that messiness, and how can we come alongside them?
Absolutely great. It is. And we do so often think, man, if I'm not just radically changing my life or upsetting my schedule, when you go, something as simple as you go to get your groceries and you get a gift card for the gas station or a gift card for the grocery store, just $25 here or there, and you hand that to a foster family, you just say, as a church, we want to have a breakfast for our foster parents or a Saturday night. There's so many ways. And what that says to those foster parents is we can make it. And we hear so often a foster parent that's just at the end of their rope, or it's been a difficult week, or court was really tough, or they don't know if they can make it another week. And when their church has what you said, that culture that comes around them, that we hear so many times a foster parent or foster family say, man, I was at the end of my rope, I was ready to give up, and my church stepped in, my church cared for us, my church came alongside. So that culture of churches embracing foster care ministry is what we need.
Absolutely. Well, we want to encourage churches to adopt that culture as families step up and they ask those fundamental questions of how many and how long and why and trying to understand the dynamics. There's nothing better than know that when they're jumping in, that there are people there surrounding them and holding them up in that process. And like you said earlier, just fundamentally praying for them as they go on the journey. And it's our job. We want to equip as Send Relief. We want to equip those families to find the support and the energy to do what they do,
sure.
Come alongside sustainable partners, understanding that there are organizations like UH4C that come alongside them, help them carry some of the burden, the responsibilities, be advocates for them, and help them take that journey. And so we want to direct anyone who's listening today who has an interest in understanding a better vision of how foster care impacts your church or your personal family in a way that we can help you answer questions and find those partners. We want to invite you to go to sendrelief.org/fostercare, and we will connect with you. You'll find some resources there, a prayer guide, some links to some of our partners, and ways that you can take next steps to be on mission specifically in the world of foster care. Tom, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely, Greg. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Send Relief Podcast, a resource of the North American Mission Board. For more information about today's podcast, visit our website at namb.net/sendrelief.